Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My sermon today, I will be sharing a few lines from Fiddler on the Roof. All the lyrics for Fiddler were written by Sheldon Harnick, who was a classmate at Northwestern and is still a close friend to my sister-in-law, Eileen Robertson. So we have a common connection at St. Peter's for Tevye. In the musical Fiddler on the Roof, and the lead character Tevye sings out tradition, tradition, and then he explains, because of our traditions we have kept our balance. Here in our country we have traditions for everything: how to sleep, how to eat, how to work, how to wear clothes. For instance, we always keep our heads covered and always wear a little prayer shawl. This shows our constant devotion to God. You may ask, how did this tradition get started? I tell you, I don't know. But it is a tradition. And because of our traditions, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do. Oh, really, Tevye? Is tradition really such a clear indicator of God's will? In fact, even a good thing? You might not think so, Tevye, if you listen to Rabbi Jesus in our gospel reading today. Jesus seems to be pretty set against tradition. Listen to what he says. Jesus calls the scribes and Pharisees hypocrites. Then he says to them, you leave the commandment of God and hold to the traditions of men. And again he says, you are making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. Tradition, Jesus seems to be saying, fooey on tradition. So, if that's the case, if tradition is bad, what should we do about this in the church today? Perhaps we need to get rid of our traditions. That's what many would advocate, and that is what many churches are doing. Get rid of the crucifix. That just turns people off. Don't make the sign of the cross. That's too Catholic. Get rid of the liturgy. Who needs that boring old stuff? I suppose we could use it in our Sunday morning traditional service for the old folks who are stuck in the past. Tradition, bad, contemporary, good. That is what's been going on in the church in the last 30 years. However, many of the churches that opted for completely contemporary are returning to incorporation of the liturgy back into their services, because liturgy is strictly and directly from literature. A liturgy is taken directly from Scripture. But is that what Jesus is really railing against in our text? Tradition per se, or is there something more to it than that? I mean, after all, Jesus himself did keep some of the traditions. He went regularly to the synagogue, as was his custom. The Gospels added, and when he went up to Jerusalem for the annual pilgrimage festivals as God himself commanded, it appears that Jesus was not against tradition. The word tradition means something handed down. Handed down from one generation to the next. It could be a traditional teaching or a traditional practice. But the teaching or practice is neither good nor bad, simply because it has been handed down. There is other factors that come into play. You see, the Apostle Paul, for example, using the language of tradition, in a positive sense, as a good thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells the Corinthians, "Now I command you, because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions, even as I delivered them to you." Here he is speaking about good worship practices. And a little later in the chapter, Paul tells them, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed," etc. Paul here is applying the doctrine of the Lord's Supper, which he received and was passed on to the Corinthians to their practice of it. What I received from the Lord, I delivered to you. I pass it on. That is tradition. Likewise, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you when you received it, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. For I delivered to you as the first importance of what I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." Do these words sound familiar? They should. Paul's words, the tradition he passed on, have found their way into the church's creeds. Paul is speaking on passing on, delivering that which has been received, and that this can save people. It does so when it is the traditional teaching of the person and the work of Christ, the Savior of sinners. This is tradition in the good sense. So what's the deal? There are all these examples in the New Testament commending tradition, and yet Jesus speaks out against it in our text. How come? Because it's not tradition in itself that is bad. It is what's being tradished, so to speak. That is, what is being handed down and why it is being done. That is what's wrong with traditions being spoken of in today's gospel reading. For one thing, these man-made traditions were seen as necessary. You had to do them, even though God had not commanded them to be done. For example, you had to wash your hands at certain times and in certain way before you could eat. But God had not said that you had to do that. That was a tradition added by the elders. And so these rules should not have been made absolutely necessary, as though they were coming from God. Secondly, these traditions were seen to be meritorious. That is, you were earning your salvation or contributing toward it by doing these things. That too was what was wrong with these traditions. The thought was that if you did these things and followed the traditions, that somehow you were piling up points to God. But the truth is, we sinners cannot keep God's own law, which he commanded, well enough to earn our salvation, even apart from keeping all the extra traditions that men have added on. And that brings us to the third thing that was wrong with the traditions spoken of and spoken against in our text. The scribes and Pharisees were using the traditions of the elders to avoid doing the things that God does command. That is specifically what Jesus condemns. You see, there was a tradition that if you declared some of your money Corban, that is, a gift dedicated to God, then it was off limits and you could not use that money for any other purpose. Okay, fair enough. It is good to set some of our money aside for offerings to God, However, the scribes and Pharisees abused that tradition. If their parents become old and needed help, they would say they had set aside their extra money as Corban, and because they could not spend it to help their parents. That was outrageous, Jesus said. The Pharisees and scribes were circumventing a direct command from God, the fourth commandment: honor your father and your mother. And they were using a man-made tradition about Corban as their excuse. That kind of tradition that Jesus condemns, namely a man-made tradition used to get around as a God-given command. So when a man-made tradition is taught as being absolutely necessary, when it is done in order to earn merit before God, or when it is used to take precedence over God's clear commandments, that kind of tradition is definitely wrong. That's what Jesus condemns, and that's what we should condemn too. But that is not the case with the many of the good traditions that we have in church. These traditions we would be wise to keep and to pass on to the next generation. Including among those good traditions would be the creeds, for example. Here we have the teachings of the apostles, passed on for centuries in the church and preserved for us in succinct, memorable form, and they keep our faith in check. So is this really what Jesus is railing about in our text? The creeds pass on the saving gospel of Christ, which we have received and in which we stand, and by which we are saved. What tradition could be better than the Nicene Creed, for instance, which teaches us of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was crucified also for us, and who rose again according to the scriptures, and so on. You see, that is the great gospel itself, which the apostle preached, and which we believe, and which delivers us all the saving benefits of Christ. Our works won't gain us entry into heaven. Our hands are defiled with sin, and all our self-chosen works will not get that stain out. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, will do that. And this gospel passed on to us in word and sacrament, this gospel delivers the goods. That is the value of tradition in the good sense. And that is what we should preserve, therefore, in teaching and practices of the church. And so our liturgy, the church's historical liturgical form handed down and shaped over the many centuries, yes, the structure and text of the divine service, which we have and used in our hymnal, this is something worth preserving and passing on. The church's liturgy has stood the test of time. The liturgy both expresses and teaches the beautiful gospel of Christ better than anything else some individual could come up with on his own from week to week. So there's no need to throw out the liturgy. Better to learn it, use it, and do it well. It is a good tradition that we have received, and it delivers the goods. Our friend Tivia would tell us, because of our traditions, every one of us knows who he is and what God expects him to do. Well, not exactly. Our traditions get in the way of the word of God, no. Then the traditions of the elders are bad. But when the tradition serves the word of God to help pass along the one and only saving gospel of Christ, then we can say and sing out with no shame, tradition, tradition. In name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.